Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
You're listening to the John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. You get all the news, entertainment, in one nice little package.
Hey, everybody, it's Sue Bell in Palm Beach.
Oh. Hey, it's Sue Bell, Sherry.
Hey, Sue.
Dresses. Wow. It's just so easy. And
hope it breathes.
Yeah. It's diving in. Oh, Sue. Somebody can make some way to make some money. I'll tell you, they'll find a way. I read this and thought, well, this is, it's not illegal. It's, I don't think it's malicious or underhanded in any way. If somebody's willing to pay you for reservations at a restaurant, then good for you. Are the restaurant owners upset about this? Because this guy has found a way to sort of sell secondary reservations or a secondary market for popular restaurant reservations.
He's made $70,000 reselling these reservations. So he uses fake names, phone numbers to save these tables. So he may call up and pretend to be somebody to get a table and then sell that table to someone else who wasn't able to get a reservation. And he says sometimes he disguises his voice. He sounds like a girl. And they make a lot of money doing this. There's something called appointment trader. And that's where you can go on, I guess, and trade whatever, you know, appointments, reservations, things like that. He also makes really good friends with the maitre d's, the chefs, and the servers. So I'm sure he gives them a little piece of the action so they can alert him to maybe a cancellation or a better table or something like that.
So one of them he mentioned was the River Cafe in Brooklyn. It used to be called Buzz's River Cafe. I think he started it back then. So you get the reservation, you hold the seat for a popular night, 7:30 at a really popular restaurant. We could never get in. There's some reservations like the French Laundry. You takes 3 years to get a reservation. There was a restaurant here in town, of which one it was, where only at New Year's Day, they would take reservations and they would all fill up for the entire year. I forget which one that was. And so this guy books it, saves it, gets it, and then you go onto this site and then the guy has it and he sells it to you for $600 to $1,000 or $2,000 just to be able to have the table.
Well, there was examples of people that came from big corporations and they had a really important executive coming in from overseas and they wanted to impress him or her. So they called this guy and he said they gave him immediately gave him whatever he asked for the reservation and then a tip on top of that. And they wired the money to him immediately. So in that case, you know, people that have last minute, I guess, friends that they want to impress, he's a lifesaver.
Yeah, and if you got the money to go there, what do you care, another $1,000 on top in order to get the reservation that you want because you can't get in? You tell people, oh, I can get into that restaurant, and then there's no way. So you find a second or third restaurant, and those are all taken as well. And a Friday, Saturday night, those guys that know the restaurant scene, especially the maitre d's and the host and the owners, they have special tables they're reserved for special people and just can't get into any restaurant. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to tell a story a second time.
Andrew?
Heard it. Move on.
Wow, that's an add-on to that one.
Yeah, well, Joe's become the standard. Joe, my Tom Brokaw seat in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., heard it?
Have not heard it.
Ah, good. All right. And it's just for one person. I had a friend that used to work for the Washington Post, and said, hey, I'm going to try to get a reservation. This, you know, restaurants in Washington, D.C. are so, you know, cliquish and stuff. It was a new one open in Adams Morgan. And I said, oh, I've heard a lot of great things about that. I'm going to try to get a reservation. She goes, you'll never get a reservation there. You can't get a reservation. You have to be someone. I said, oh, I guess as the weatherman on Channel 9, I'm not someone. She goes, that's what I'm saying. You're a nobody in this town. I said, well, how do I get a reservation? She goes, I don't know, but they're not going to take your reservation. And sure enough, they wouldn't. And I said, well, how about next Friday? No, I'm sorry. We have nothing available. I was like, ah, crap. So I worked on my Tom Brokaw imitation, perfected it to the point that I used to call restaurants as Tom Brokaw, make the reservation for 3, and at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and the person would be like, oh, absolutely, Mr. Brokaw, we'll have a table for you. And 7:30, that's for 3. I know how to spell your name, Mr. Brokaw. So no problem. We'll see you Friday. I'd be like, yep. Bang. And then I did it over and over and over again to get into restaurants. I told my friend Stephanie, and then she wrote a small little piece. So a while ago, it goes back to 1990 or 91, and then it was the article was Tom Brokaw will never eat in this town again. So she outed me.
Well, didn't they notice when you asked for the reservation, the Brokaw party, and he wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you'd walk up and you'd go, Brokaw party 3. Oh, certainly. Is everyone here? I don't think Tom's here yet. Is Tom here? Tom's not here yet. No, he's not here yet. That's quite all right. We'll seat you now. I would sit down there with Bub, and we'd sit there and wait for a little while. This is before cell phones. Go pick up the phone. Act like I'm talking on the phone. Oh, you can't? Oh, that's okay. All right. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, tell Meredith I said hi. All right. It's crazy. Oh, okay. Next week. Yes. No hard feelings. Thank you. I hang up. You can't make it. Oh, okay. That's a shame. It's like, yep. I go back, sit down, finish my salad.
And we're going to get some of that Brokaw impersonation, right?
Go ahead, Sherry. You can do ring, ring.
Okay. Ring, ring.
You're a busy restaurant, Sherry. It's got to ring more than that.
Well, you got to ring, ring. Then I got to answer. We're doing it backwards.
Ring.
Why am
Sherry,
I ring, ringing?
Answer.
Why because am I ring, ringing?
I don't
Tom,
ring, ring.
Tom Brokaw.
I know.
Tom Brokaw doesn't do his own ring, rings.
Ring, ring. But I ring, ring, and then
I ring, ring. Sherry,
right.
You answer
well,
the phone.
Someone has to ring, ring. Ring.
Okay, here we go. Ring, ring.
This doesn't
ring,
make
ring.
Any sense. Wait a minute. Hold
it's
on.
It's crazy. It's groundbreaking. It's new. It's making history.
Ring, ring.
Okay. All right. Well, hang on.
Ring, ring, ring.
Who's ringing?
Ring.
Who's ringing?
Ring, sorry. Ring.
Joe's
ring,
ringing. Ring. I'm answering. You're Tom Brokaw. Are we clear?
Got it.
Ring,
got
ring.
It. Go.
Ring, ring.
We'll ring, do it
ring.
Live.
Ring, ring.
Hello, ring. Fancy restaurant. How can I help you?
This is Tom Brokaw calling. I'd like to see about getting a reservation for Friday night, if it's possible, at 7:30, if you have anything. I know it's late notice, but it would be for 3. Under Brokaw, Tom Brokaw.
What, your name again, please?
Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw.
With NBC Nightly News.
Tom
Brokaw.
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 Mister, have you been to the restaurant before? Perhaps I could look up your account.
Wait a minute. It sounded like a Chinese restaurant, and now it sounds like an Italian restaurant.
I am inconsistent with my dialects. But anyway, Mr. Brokaw, I was wondering, did you want me to look up your past account?
No, there's no need. You have just opened. Friends of mine have told me, Peter Jennings said, you have to try that restaurant. So here I am, I'm making a reservation with you, and the last name is Brokaw, 7:30 on Friday. There'll be 3 of us, including Sue Bell.
Hey, everybody, it's Sue Bell and Paul.
She'll be there as well.
Will Miss Bell be okay, or does she need some, I don't know, antacid?
I'd like to have a lasagna, a linguine, and anything that starts with the letter L that I seem to have a lot of trouble with.
Mr. Broke, I'm afraid we are not able to find you. And Mr. Whom did you say referred you? Mr. Jamesy?
You know what? You obviously have some sort of problem over there. I'm going to call a different restaurant. I don't know who is ringing the bell, but that person does not know how to ring a bell. So I'll call somewhere else.
All right, Mr. Bro.
It's so loud. It's very disruptive.
Yes. Well, you know, you can act like you weren't impressed by Tom Brokaw, but everyone else fell for it. So it worked for me for a while.
I know it worked for you.
And my lawyer was always saying, hey, listen to me. It's in Portland. People don't see me drinking. So when I say a fresca, what I mean is straight vodka.
You didn't actually try to impersonate Tom Brokaw when you were John Curley and visible, did you?
What do you mean? Like in front of people?
Yes.
It doesn't work. It's okay. Over the phone. What are you talking
about?
All right.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how bold
you are. Who am I, Rich Little all of a sudden?
Yeah.
No, it worked. It worked for the longest time. And then I used to call the mountain all the time and do Tom Brokaw. And then I was always doing him drunk and all. And then Gene Anderson, who was the anchor on King 5, called NBC Nightly News in New York and said, I think there's something wrong with Tom. He sounds really sick or something, like he's been on medicines and he doesn't seem well. Something's wrong. So then she called the agent, I guess Tom's agent in Chicago or something like that, and said, Tom is on the radio and he sounds really ill. She was so panicked by it. Because I was always amazing. I had way too much to drink. And just... And I head over to Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. The whole time.
Yeah.
But no, it worked for a while. And then I got out and no more reservations for me. So it just, I could do it now and fake people out.
He's still alive. You could definitely do it.
Yeah. Joe, call someplace. Let's get him on the air.
All right. On it. What about Dukes?
No, we've already done Dukes. Okay. Besides, how are we going to be impressed with Tom Brokaw? We got to get someplace where, like, it's a last minute thing where the Tom Brokaw is going to be able to make things happen. Okay. Like, I called one time. It might have been United Airlines, because I was trying to prove that rich people can get anything they want. Anything they want is you just drop the name and then you get asked for a whole bunch of stuff. So we called United Airlines. This is really wrong, but luckily the show's not on the air anymore. We didn't tell the person we were live on the radio, and we had a hold button. But dun, 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 dun. So we'd call United Airlines and then put them on hold. And the one of the people working their radio station went, please hold for Tom Brokaw. And the person at United Airlines goes, oh, certainly. And then bom, 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 bom.
Like they would have that as their hold music.
Why not? What else? And we kept them on for like 2 minutes. Bom, bom, da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden, Tom Brokaw, I'd like to see about getting 2 seats on a first class to fly from New York to Seattle. And was like, certainly, Mr. Brokaw, no problem. She's all peppy and she's writing everything tappy, tappy, tappy in here, tappy, tappy, tappy. All right. And the name of the first passenger, of course, is you, Mr. Brokaw. That's not Brokaw. I've got your spelling right here. Second passenger, Lil Chuck. I'm sorry, having trouble understanding. First name again?
Lil.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brokaw, must have a bad connection.
It's Lil.
Larry?
Lil.
Lol?
Lil.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Brokaw. Must be something on my end. Could you spell that for me?
L-I-L.
Oh, certainly. Little, as in Lil.
That's right.
Now, is that a nickname?
No, it's not a nickname. His name is Lil Chuck. He is a showbiz monkey given to me by the likes of Shields and Yarnell.
And she's like, all right. So it is a little Chuck is a monkey. I don't know if, and you hear like panicking. She's probably writing her manager. Like, can you bring a monkey? I said,
he's used to flying all the time and he wants to sit up with me in first class. And when the plane takes off to calm him down, I normally let him go up there and see the pilots. He likes to press the buttons.
And she's like, I don't know if we're going to allow the monkey to go onto the flight deck while flying. She's typing to see, like, wah, And then I got her to agree to having a special diet for him. And I said, at least an hour to the flat, I need somebody to check little Chuck's diaper to make sure he doesn't start flinging his poo around. And she's like, oh, we can't have that, can we? Oh, we can't. And she's like, oh, okay. I said, that's behavior strictly reserved for Coach, the poo flinging. And she agreed to everything except for letting the monkey go up and run around the flight deck while the plane was flying. She agreed to all of it. And then she goes, all right, so what credit card is that going to go on? And at that point, we're like, hold on a second. We dun, 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 and we hung up on her.
Oh.
It's like a 20-minute call.
Poor thing. What? She was all excited. She wanted to tell that story over and over and over again.
Oh, Tom Brokaw was going to bring a live monkey onto a plane, and she was agreeing to all of it. And then
She bought it. She thought it was real so she could tell the story. You're not going to believe who I talked to today. Yes, Andy wanted to bring
Michael Jackson traveled with a monkey, didn't he? Didn't he have a monkey?
Yes.
Well,
Bubbles.
He has private jets, so he doesn't need a commercial.
Oh, okay. Well, Tom is a man of the people.
Right.
People. I did my imitation for him in an elevator in Salt Lake during the Olympics. He not think so funny, I'll tell you that right now. Because when you do the imitation to somebody and you're on the eighth floor on a slow elevator going down and you do the imitation like on the sixth floor, it really felt like the elevator was going extra slow because he was not laughing at any of it.
Did you and ask him if he wanted to hear an impersonation or just go right into it?
Yeah, that's what you do.
Well, it's not exactly the most flattering of impersonation since he sounds kind of inebriated.
Well, he sounds like he is. He's out of breath, sure. Like, he's got a heavy rock on him or something like that. But it's good. Come on. It is good.
No, it's good. No, it's good.
He just didn't want to hear it. All right. Do we have news to do? Weren't we supposed to be doing news?
Probably. Yeah. Do we really want to call a restaurant?
It goes 24/7, and it's kind of unbearable.
Yeah. No, that would be illegal. The FCC makes you have to say, hi, you're live on the radio, and that blows whole thing. Right. Yeah. Right. So we violated that a long time ago with another station that's not on the air anymore, but not because of that.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and downstairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Whether you're planning a special birthday party for 14 friends and family or a company outing for up to 400 coworkers, Mariner's Suites are the perfect spot for your next get-together. Enjoy catering, VIP parking, private entry, and more. Reserve today at mariners.com/suites.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant. I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Letters are pouring in. Teeny is collating as best she possibly can. She's got that stapler. She's collating the letter of the day. It's going to come in. It's going to be the greatest honor bestowed by a woman that lives in a pickle jar with a weird fascination with potatoes, Sherry.
Yes, and a weird fascination with a lot of weird things.
Wilcox Family Farm eggs, the freshest, the best anywhere around. Sherry likes them hard-boiled with a little bit of salt, but that's just Sherry. And everybody else, as a matter of fact. Finally, I kept thinking to myself, when is somebody going to invent one of these things? Because the robot dog is the best. But then you think, okay, what else can you do with a robot dog? Because it's going to walk around and be a robot dog. But then if you can add like one other extra element, what would be the one thing you would want your robot dog to do that would really make it your favorite pet, Sherry? What do you think?
Probably if they could be useful for something, like they could.
Useful, yes. like getting paint off a wall, or maybe.
They could do my taxes. Things like
okay.
that.
Okay. How about do your taxes by setting them on fire?
Take a look at this. An Ohio-based company named ThrowFlame sells robotic dogs with flamethrowers attached to them. It's aptly named the Thro.
We had an old golden retriever named Moose. That thing was a flamethrower too. Silent but deadly. That thing could clear a room. Like, oh my God. Oh, Moose. And you're just looking at you like, oh.
Aww. Terminator, and it got released last year. The Terminator can send streams of fire up to 30 feet, and they're fully legal to own as they are not classified as a firearm. It can be yours for only $9,400 a piece.
I know. Why?
Pay your taxes. Thank you. If it was if she had said for only $5,000, I would have bought it. Because I do have a price point on a flame throwing dog that's
would
robotic.
Would you use it for entertainment or for practical reasons,
so.
Like starting a bonfire?
Practical reasons for a robotic dog that shoots a flame 30 feet. No, it would just be for entertainment purposes.
Okay.
So, or an upgrade here at the wedding. Like your wedding, you know, the wedding guests. Oh, we also have, we can do the wine and we can do the cutlery and the tablecloth. And we do have a flame-throwing robotic dog. Oh, well, it was the flame 50 feet? It's 30. We find 30 best. Oh, okay.
Maybe upgrade what you could do is get the dog and then the guy that comes back with the beard shoot a flame at him and burn off his beard so he's not
no,
too sexy.
No, there's no, we don't do that to our customers. But just okay. You get the dog. Like, for whatever, why would anyone want a flame throwing dog? Honestly, there's no practical purpose. It would just be something that you have just to, because you've got one and no one else has one.
Yeah, the show off thing.
Let's all kick in. It's $9,400.
Who
we
gets
all
to
get
keep
one.
It?
Well, we share it during the holidays, like a divorced kid.
Oh. What will we name him?
All right, Sherry, we haven't gotten to that point yet. But just right now, we're just trying to get everybody to get on board to throw some money in to get the flame-throwing dog. I haven't seen the reason for it. I know the flame-throwing car to stop people from stealing stuff. I guess you'd send the dog out to go after other dogs or, you know, criminals that are coming into your house, let the dog go and just shoot a giant ball of fire at the person. Isn't it amazing that it's legal? That's great. That is great.
That is America right there.
But, that is America.
You know, you'd have to make sure when you were flamethrowing at the burglar, you didn't catch like the hardwood floors on fire.
Or him. He catches on fire, then he runs around the house and lands on your sofa and he tries to put it out and he puts your, Listen, I haven't given all the details. Right now, I just heard the story. So right now, I'm just sort of mulling around reasons to have it. I know that there's another robot, and this particular robot is for, this is the party robot. This is the new thing for people. Behold the party robot. It's a robot that comes to your house, drinks all of your liquor, and then vomits.
They could probably make it do that, but that's not really its primary purpose.
Oh, okay.
Its primary purpose is to get people on the dance floor because nobody wants to be the first one up there. So Party Robot shows up. And he is, 7 feet tall, and he just dances and dances and dances. You can get him for about $500 to $1,200 an hour. And he also can shoot cold fog of carbon dioxide at your guests.
As he's dancing around to something from Earth, Wind, and Fire, like Celebrate or September.
Sure. Or We Are
Do
Family.
Do you remember?
Yeah. These people that do this is actually not a robot, there's somebody inside, they have to learn to walk on stilts. So there's this one guy.
Now I know what I'm going to do with my flame-throwing dog.
Yeah. Great. Pause for a dance.
You go to a wedding and this song comes on, you're like, I like this. And then you realize, everyone up here is in their 70s.
Except the robot. See, the robot will dance with you. And there was a construction worker that learned to, I guess he walked on drywall stilts. And he was a great candidate. He absolutely got the job, though, because he was a great dancer. So Party Robot can dance. He can just do anything. I love this idea.
That's an upgrade for a wedding as well. Party Robot shows up.
Yeah.
That'd be particular. You have to have a certain kind of bride and groom that wants to. And would you also like the Party Robot to show up and get the people out on the dance floor?
Yeah.
I don't know. We spent so much on the flame-throwing robot dog. I don't have any money.
And the talking cow. Don't forget.
The talking cow. So all the upgrades. And then people have decided they're going to try to plan weddings on their own, and they're saving themselves $5,000. You get a wedding planner. Certainly does help with everything. I was shocked to find out the order of things you're supposed to do if you plan on getting married. You know what the first thing you book is? First thing.
First thing, the church?
No.
The caterer?
Wedding venue is number one. Guess what number two is?
The band.
Yeah, the music, the DJ or the band. Yeah. And then caterer and that are like kind of down on the list. Florist is in there as well. But I was like, okay, I could see venue. You got to get the venue first. But the DJ or the band, because, you know, there's only one of them. You got other venues you can go to. But, yeah, you got to get the right DJ in there and to mix the right music. I talked to a guy about it, and he's like king of these things. And I said, well, why are you better than somebody else? He said, well, the way you play the music, you can't burn people out. You can't get them up and just, you know, kill them in the first two songs so they get tired and they sit down. So you're bringing their energy up and bringing their energy down and up and down. Then you have like certain songs that get everybody up, and then there's certain songs that come down again, back up again. It's a whole system to how you play the music to keep them out on the dance floor. Because once you get them out on the dance floor, you don't want the dance floor to get empty again, because then you have to break through that kind of invisible force field of, well, no one's dancing, so I'm not going to dance, you know.
But you never have that problem.
Look at that dog over there. What's that thing doing? Oh, I see. It's heating up the mini weenies or something.
Yes.
No, I don't. First guy out there, Sherry. Spin around you. Lots of room.
Straight to break dancing, right?
Oh, no shame.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, They can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts, then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this portion of the show is also brought to you by breast milk. It's not for babies anymore.
We're going to start our day off with a cup of breast milk. Get this, was like $5 an ounce on the dark web. Tastes man good. It tastes like the bottom of the cereal, like once you get all the sugar and stuff, the last milk of the cereal. And that'll be enough to get me going today.
There you go. Here comes the mailman now, Sherry, after that.
Okay.
All right.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me. I'm the
better
mailman.
Put his big boy
if
pants
you
on.
Know, I'm the mailman, bring the mail.
Put your big boy pants on there, mailman. Don't worry about it. We're going to get letter of the day. First, take care of all the rest, Sherry.
Okay, off topic. Andrew in the 509 says, John, a salamander will bite on what it thinks is a tiny worm. If you're nude and a salamander bites you, well, water's still pretty cold out there, huh?
Yep. 253. John's firefighting Yelp review. Maybe don't burn your cabin down next time. That hurts. It hurts more than a salamander bite.
This is from Stumpy in Olympia, formerly Long Tom. Has anybody checked to see if John's beard is his naturally growing hair? Is his own naturally growing hair?
It is. It's growing naturally. Okay. Christy from Redmond says, hey, I just want to say I think John is the funniest sarcastic person on the radio. Well, thank you, I guess. Absolutely hilarious. You guys always crack me up. Well, isn't that nice to know, Christy? Thank you from Redmond. Thank you.
This is about Tom Brokaw. This is Justin in Ording. LOL, you guys are the biggest weirdos on the radio. I love this show so much.
I was thinking, well, I was trying to figure out who's going to ring the bell. I was like, man. This doesn't feel like radio. It's like a weird dream. James in Bellevue. I just split a gut listening to Tom Brokaw and Sherry. Having Tom Brokaw call Sherry for all sorts of reasons needs to be a regular part of the show. We'll see about that. But thank you, James.
Doug says, as George Takei, oh my, this segment is great.
Yes. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Dan in Ballard says, I don't know how many times I've heard the Brokaw story, but you guys really got me going trying to decide who's going to ring the phone. Hilarious. I'm laughing out loud. I drove through Ballard. Well done, gang. You made my day. Well, that's like these. Joe, you're putting all the happy ones in here. Thank you for that. Do we get crappy ones? People that hate us? Do we get those as well? Huh?
We sure do, but not many today.
Oh, good. All right. Nice to know. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was that lack of news.
Probably.
That'll do it. 425 says, John, do you ever talk to George Takei anymore? I wonder how he's doing these days.
Me too. It was probably a couple years ago that he came on the show and we reenacted the moment he changed my life. Don't
that
think
one.
That. That's no. That's people don't do that with the dirty thoughts. Here we go. Sherry, thank you, Teeny. Well, come on, give it up for Teeny. Way to go, Teeny. Good job. All right. Sorry, Sherry. Go ahead.
Okay. Ted in Centralia says, I was listening to America's number one podcast, Nigeria's 67th podcast, and there was a discussion about flights changing reclining privileges. Then I began to wonder, what if we just lay people on the floor, fully reclined? Yeah. This was to save space. Then for more efficient flights, we could just start stacking people. Try poking holes in that idea, Curly.
I like that idea. I've seen people lay in the aisles before. There's nothing to poke. I like it. It's good. I think
Mom,
that's a great
change
idea.
The station.
Well, you are too late, girly. Well, that one. But there is another hour for your mother to enjoy. All right. Here we go. Hang on there, Sherry. What's wrong with you in there?